Well, we're visiting with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack today. And Secretary Vilsack, we appreciate your time. Understand you have a trade announcement that you're making today. Can you tell us about that?
Well, Ken, as you know, every quarter we take a look at the trade numbers to determine direction. And very pleased to note that by the end of this fiscal year, on September 30th, we will have set yet another trade record for agriculture, $152.5 billion of ag exports. As well, a trade surplus record of $43 billion in terms of selling more than we purchase in terms of ag products. A very good, solid record. This is, again, either the fourth or fifth record that's been set since I've been secretary. So obviously, we're doing something right on the trade side. And I think it's a quality product. It's an affordable price. It's a reliable supply. And I think it's aggressive promotion that USDA is engaged in with commodity groups and others to basically make sure the world knows about American agriculture.
Mr. Secretary, we talked a while back about China's biotech approval process, and I think in your last discussions with them, you indicated that there was discussion about trying to get the regulatory processes between the U.S. and China in sync. Has there been any progress on that?
Well, we are continuing conversing with the Chinese about this, and honestly, we're trying to make the case that it's not about American agriculture or American companies. It's in the Chinese best interest to basically create a regulatory system that's more predictable and more stable. Some of the decisions that have been made and continue to be delayed make it much more difficult for China to maximize its agricultural production and puts their consumers and their producers at a disadvantage. Our hope is that when we have the Ag Symposium sometime later this year, and I have an opportunity to meet with Minister Han, that we'll have progress on this area. It's been promised by the Chinese for some time, and hopefully that they will finally fulfill that promise. Again, it's an unfortunate circumstance because it really creates confusion in the market and makes it much more difficult to have the stability that markets require. We're going to continue to press this. We just recently sent a letter to the Vice Premier, Ambassador Froman, and I, basically expressing concerns about this very issue and also expressing concerns about a recent decision involving dry distillers grain. And I think there are times when the Chinese make decisions that are not necessarily science-based and rules-based. There's some other reason for it. They need to get through that process. They need to create a more predictable and reliable decision-making process, and one that is consistent and synchronized with the rest of the world. Otherwise, we're going to continue to have disruption in the market, which is unfortunate.
I wanted to ask you about country of origin labeling. As you know, the Wall Street Journal recently reported sources telling them that the WTO has again ruled against the U.S. on cool. If that is the case, and if Canada and Mexico retaliate, will you work with Congress to amend the cool statute so that it complies?
Well, look, I'm not going to comment on the WTO case because it is still in the process. And when the decision is ultimately published, we will deal with it at that point in time because we will have a definitive decision and a finite decision. What we intend to do and what we have always attempted to do and will continue to try to do is to make sure that we are consistent with congressional direction and at the same time also consistent with the WTO rules. We will make every effort to make sure that we are consistent with both congressional intent and the WTO ruling. And that is what we have attempted to do, and that's what we'll continue to try to do.
I know the dairy industry was pleased to see the details of the Dairy Margin Protection Program announced this week. How are we doing on implementation of other commodity programs?
Well, we continue to proceed fairly aggressively, I think, in terms of the implementation of the Farm Bill generally. A lot of the crop insurance programs, the supplemental crop insurance option, are now available for both winter and spring crops in 2015, which was good. The Stax program has been announced as well, and we anticipate and expect very soon to be able to lay out some of the information on ARC and PLC. As you know, we put out $6 million to create the tools, the web-based tools that will allow producers to make informed decisions about what's best for their operation. I think the Farm Bureau recently said that this implementation of the Farm Bill has been the best they've seen in the last 7 Farm Bills. We take that as a high compliment. We obviously want to continue to be aggressive in our promotion and implementation, but we also want to be right about what we're doing.
Related to the Farm Bill, of course, we have big crops on the way. Prices have come down considerably on corn and soybean crops. Are you convinced that the farm safety net in the commodity programs and the Farm Bill will be strong enough to take us through the next couple, 3 years?
I am, and I'm thankful that we have a Farm Bill because the Farm Bill allowed us to restore our export assistance programs, which obviously are part of the reason why we're continually talking about record exports. I'm thankful that we continue to invest in a variety and diversity of agriculture. One of the reasons why we have record export numbers is because our horticultural aspect has seen rather dramatic growth in export opportunities. That's good news. The energy title of the Farm Bill basically allows us to continue to support not just renewable fuel production, but also biochemicals and biomaterial production, which offers a new alternative market opportunity. We've just recently announced a significant investment in conservation, which I think is going to help farmers continue to do right by the land and water. I think the safety net, I think it's, again, important to look at the Farm Bill in its totality, not just simply focused on crop insurance or focused on the ARC or PLC program or the Dairy Margin Protection Program. That is a component of the overall safety net, which includes export assistance, which includes additional market opportunities, which includes diversification and support, which includes research, all of which is being implemented by the Farm Bill. So I'm confident this is a good, solid Farm Bill that's going to provide the protection needed to ensure that folks can stay in business regardless of the size of their operation. And hopefully we're going to see an expanded opportunity for it, particularly for young and beginning farmers.
A lot of talk in farm country about the renewable fuel standard, anticipating the final rule from EPA, which is at OMB now, we understand. Did you have input on the final rule? And if the volume requirements are reduced, do you believe that'll discourage further expansion of the biofuels industry?
Well, part of our responsibility is to provide advice and information to the Environmental Protection Agency on a variety of issues, not the least of which was the renewable fuel standard. And I think it's important for folks to understand that there has been a concerted attack by the oil industry on the renewable fuel standard, both in Congress in efforts to repeal it and in courts in efforts to undermine it. And that the EPA is cognizant of both of those efforts, and I think at the end of the day, they are most interested in sending the message that the RFS is here to stay, and it is an important component, but not the only component, to a commitment to this industry. Look, we are engaged in significant investments in research involving the biofuel industry. The BCAP program has been expanded to include woody biomass. We now have over 50,000 acres of non-food feedstocks that we're supporting for advanced biofuels. We've helped over 300 companies who are in the advanced biofuel production business with assistance, financial assistance. We continue to support biorefinery assistance with our loan guarantee program. We are working with the Department of Defense and the commercial aviation industry to develop jet fuels that will be drop-in, not necessarily blended. And we're encouraging our federal agencies, sister federal agencies, to purchase renewable fuels, and the Department of Defense being at front and center in that effort as well. So there's a lot of activity going on supportive of the industry, and I think what we all need to do is take a step back and take a look at the total picture here, that there have been attacks on the RFS and the need to shore it up, and that there is a long-term commitment by this administration to a healthy, vibrant, stable renewable fuel industry, and I think that's going to continue.
Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, we sure appreciate your time.
All right, Ken, take care.